Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrook. Thanks for joining me.
Time to go arty with our Professor of Fine Arts, Breeda Ennis, who helps us better understand the figure of St. John the Baptist on the walls of the Sistine Chapel, in particular in the Last Judgment fresco.
We're still speaking about the Last Judgment. We didn't think we'd ever end somehow.
And we're if we did all 400 figures, we would be here for the next 2 years.
We're going to speak about a very important figure again today. Looking at the fresco, he's to the left of Christ.
Yes, yes.
And he's John the Baptist.
Yes. Looking as intense as he is described, in a sense, because a very intense figure and
a devilish face, in a way.
Well, no, it's almost like it's severe more than devilish. No, he's very severe, but he's generally portrayed dressed in unkempt clothes and looking like a wild man from the desert. And looking very severe. Which in fact he was. Yeah, because actually what he's trying to do is, no, more than that, he's trying to warn people, like, Messiah is coming. He's very near. So wake up, you people. This is the feeling you get from this figure. And it's lovely when you look at the eyes. I mean, he has a hooked nose. He's not exactly a fabulous-looking individual. He's not a beautiful-looking man, if you want to put it that way. But there was a wonderful expression in his eyes, though. Look, he's looking with an adoration at the figure of Christ the Judge in the middle. Because this was the content of his message. This was his role. And he's a very special man. He's celebrated on the 24th of June, which is his birthday. On the 29th of August as well, which was the day of his martyrdom. So he's the only saint, along with the Virgin Mary and Jesus, whose birthday is celebrated as a feast, an official church feast. All the others are celebrated on the day of their martyrdom or their death. And this is because he was sanctified already before his birth, because his actual birth was miraculous in a sense, and he prepared humanity for the coming of Christ.
So he's an in-between man. He's between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yes, he's the last prophet from the Old Testament and the first one of the New. So he is a link.
The glue.
Well, yeah, more than that. It's almost like he clasps the two. He brings the two books together. More than even binding them, it's almost like he's putting some wonderful gold clip on the two of them to hold them together strongly. This is the feeling I always get.
That's a beautiful image.
He's a very, very important key figure in the linking of the two books. I mean, when I think of him in terms of the key figure, I'm jumping over also to St. Peter with his keys at the same thing. Because you always find some types of images that tend to float around certain figures. And he's one of these people.
Well, the way they're placed.
They're the two, let's say, they're standing straight up and the two strongest, more muscular figures in the Last Judgment fresco. Because the Christ figure, yes, it is a muscular one, but it's more refined. The figures of John the Baptist and Peter are stronger and more rugged, let's say. A little bit like Hercules, the statue of Hercules. So when people asked him who he was, St. John, he answered, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." And you can actually feel the intensity of this in this face that you see here. And look, his arms are down by his sides. So it's almost like he understands that what he had to do was done. And of course, remember that Christ chose him to be baptized. So he was baptizing before the arrival of Christ. And then the real baptism, he had this wonderful gift that Christ chose him to be baptized in the River Jordan.
Reader, apart from this depiction of both St. Peter and St. John the Baptist in the Last Judgment fresco, these two figures appear elsewhere in the Sistine Chapel in a different manner.
You have the fresco on the lower part of the Sistine, where you have Peter receiving the keys from Christ. You also have the first fresco just to the right of the altar, where you see St. John the Baptist baptizing Christ. And again, in that fresco below, he's shown in his more classical garb, holding the long cross, standing with one foot on a rock and one foot in the water, and he's baptizing Christ. And he's wearing the robes that we normally associate him with. So again, it's a repetition here. He's repeated in the Sistine Chapel. So this also underlines the importance of his role. He sometimes holds a lamb, which has a cruciform nimbus, no? The lamb is one of his iconographical attributes, because he was the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's here to one side of Christ, and he's the person who brought the message to the people and brought the direct link to the Messiah who came. And on the other side, you have St. Peter, who received that message and brought it down into the Sistine Chapel for us. And this is why this link with the Pope is so terribly important, because you're coming through the prophets, through the revelation, which is an action. Obviously, here you have the judgment, but it's the judgment as the result of the revelation. And then on the right-hand side, you have Peter, who created, let's say, the earthly church. And then below that, you have the altar of the Pope.
So Michelangelo was a very knowledgeable person about the church.
Well, yeah, not only knowledgeable, but he was also very religious. This is something people tend to forget. Because I think Michelangelo had this extraordinary capacity to immerse himself in what he was trying to paint. And trying to give the totality of his spiritual self to creating something that would give and inspire a message in the people who are observing for years to come.
And heartfelt thanks there, as always, to our Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, who's currently teaching at the American University of Rome, and who, as you may have gathered, happens to be an artist herself.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.